welcome to another episode of Torah Podcast. Got Roger in the house. How's it going, man?
We're back, man.
We're back.
I mean, we had one not too long ago, but now I really feel like we're back. Like, the weather's warm.
Nice.
We just worked out. You showed me something I couldn't do again. And now I have something to go back and work on.
Gotta work on their hip mobility.
Which is cool, because I always learn something when I come here.
Awesome, man.
And I feel like you do, but it's more along the lines of like a dick and fart joke.
But no, definitely learn, and definitely, you know, appreciate you coming here. Appreciate you taking the time to, push each other. You know, get each other to be better.
It's a Sunday fun day, man.
But before we start anything, I just want to say, we are on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all Toro_pod. Go give it a follow. You got clips, funny stuff going on, serious stuff, great. New episodes coming out. Mm-hmm. Got some new people coming on the show too. It's not just you.
Go, man, because everyone has to be tired of my stories by now.
Nah, no, nobody can get tired.
I've been on rerun for a year.
We all love Roger.
Yeah.
But episode 26, 27, I think it is now. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to touch on is being young and stupid. So tell us what just happened in your life right now.
Well, I mean, other than the countless stories I myself have produced from being young and stupid, and I don't know if it's really maybe just young and inexperienced, you know, I started out my driving career by crashing my dad's car like the third day I had it. And it was really hard to convince him that I actually was in an accident, right? So I would come home. My dad's like, you didn't crash it. You didn't do it. And I couldn't get him outside to go see it. And the whole side of the door was just destroyed. And I hit, like, it was some little old lady too. It was an accident. So it was like really bad. She was like holding her chest and stuff like at the scene. I felt so bad. It was horrible. Nothing was wrong with her really. She was okay, thankfully. But she had a Buick, like a 1975 Buick, which was a tank. And it just destroyed the minivan that I was in, right? So my dad came down, and at first he wasn't like that mad. And I was like, well, why? He's like, because you crashed the minivan, not like my new car. He's like, that's why you drive a minivan. I was like, all right. But he's like, listen, your insurance go up, you got to pay more. So full circle, 30 some odd years later, you know, my daughter calls me on her way to work, and she got into a fender bender. And she was just, you know, blind spot, turned into traffic, and cracked up her car. And it was a thing, like, The girl's parents were there. They had exchanged insurance information. She was really, really upset. Luckily, it wasn't too bad, and her car got fixed by a local shop that we know of, who did a great job on her car. And but she was like crying. She was real upset, and I was like, kind of like, I did that too. Like, it's not good, but like,
it happens.
Like, we're like besties, and like, we were a lot alike. Like, I crashed my first car, she crashed her first car, you know, not, we didn't crash it, but not bad. But I was she wasn't doing anything wrong. Like, she just had a blind spot, turned at a stop sign, and didn't see the oncoming traffic. Mm-hmm. That's a big blind spot at these two crossroads we're at. I, on the other hand, was doing dumbass shit. I made a U-turn on Frankfurt Avenue across double yellow lines, right by Five Points, where the Five Cemeteries is. Not Five Points, where the intersection, at, like, right there at, what's it called? It's like Frankfurt and something.
Yeah.
Where Wissanoming Park is. I was just like, and the Buick just hit me and pushed me, like, to the light. And the first thing you do when you're in an accident and you're young, you stomp on that accelerator. That's the first thing you do, because your knee-jerk reaction is to, like, tense up. So I was spinning. 1988 Plymouth, whatever, Skylark minivan. What was it? It was a Chrysler Plymouth or something. It was a minivan. It was a real ugly minivan, which, by the way, a funny side note, fell into a sinkhole. It was parked outside of my parents' house, like, some years later, many years after I had abused it. My dad took me to ice hockey practice in this car, by the way. So My neighbor called me up, and both my parents were in the hospital at this time, and a neighbor called me up, was like, your car fell into a sinkhole. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, the gates of hell just opened up in front of my parents' house and swallowed the minivan eventually. So it was like, there was no more fitting way for this car to be retired other than to be swallowed by a sinkhole.
That's awesome. Yeah, I also crushed my, I think a lot of teenagers, I mean, that's going, we'll come back to it, but basically that's one of the reasons why I do, mm-hmm. you know, volunteer my time to teach teenagers mm-hmm. car control. But on my story, I was making a left turn. I hear sirens of a cop coming down behind me. Instead of just like looking at my rearview mirror really quick, I completely turned my head to the back. And it's not like I'm stopped. I keep going, get on the curb and hit like a pole, like all on the side. And then I was like, oh crap, you know, all because I wanted to see. And this cop wasn't even coming for me. It was just like me being paranoid. And then I backed my car out, went about my day. I just kept going. Right. My dad was like, what is this? You know? And I was like, nah, you know, like some van ran into me and left without doing anything. I don't know what to tell you. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. Sorry, Dad. Yeah, it was me. but yeah, that was my first one.
Listen, I react the same way to the cops. I'm like, they're chasing me.
Yeah, right.
That's my first reaction. Like, yeah. We kind of grew up in a neighborhood where the cops weren't called. Like.
No, unless you're murdering somebody.
Exactly.
Philly cops are just going to leave you alone.
Yeah, there's just a little fire and we're fine.
Yeah.
Stay over there.
Yeah, that's true. But about being young and stupid, though, like there are so many stories that I have of just being stupid. Like I remember, again, with the car theme, but it was snowing and I had a Subaru Impreza. And I was like, oh, it's like 12 a.m. finishing my last shift as delivering pizzas. And I'm like about to go home and it's snowing. And I think I'm a, you know, race car driver that's like, you know, like drifting around the corners, making, you know, good fun of the snow.
Because you can in the snow.
Yeah. And I just go and hit a curb and like my wheels get all bent up and I limp it to a shop that's nearby mm-hmm. and I drop it off there and had to walk in the snow home. And then the next morning I come back and the guy was like, you know, like, oh, I was wondering whose car this was. And he fixed it up and, you know, that was the end of that. But it was just like so many stupid things that I've done over the years that it's like, we were talking with somebody and I said like, they said, oh, wouldn't it be nice to be that young again? And I was like, nah. Because, like, one, I dodged death so many times. I do not want to mess and find out if I actually dodge it again.
Can I do it again?
Yeah, because in your mind, you are invincible.
But when you're young,
yeah, you feel invincible. You don't think about it. Yeah. Nothing can faze you. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that I have done that I, you know, regret today that I will, you know, like wish my kids are not, don't go through. But at the same time, it's like, I know they're going to be young. They're going to be stupid. But at least if I could, you know, give them some type of education ahead of time, maybe they won't try some things, mm-hmm. you know, that's the only thing I can hope for. But they're going to do their own stupid stuff.
Yeah, there are two things. You know? I choose to. When I think about the past, I think about, like, I don't think about it in terms of regret if it was a difficult situation or I was being stupid. I think about it as a learning opportunity. And then from there, what do I do with that? And I pass it on to my kids or to other kids that I foresee being stupid or doing something they shouldn't be doing that they're going to pay for later. So that's how I look at it. Second thing, you reminded me when you were talking about bending your wheels up, hitting a curb. I too hit a curb in one of my many accidents. My first real car that I could afford to buy was a Celica GTS with paddle shifters. I was like, I'm getting paddle shifters, man. It's going to be awesome. First off, you know how small that car is, right?
Yeah.
I did not fit in it. A lot of the time, like the sunroof, when it was open, I was much more comfortable because my head was like at the top of the roof, right? So I'm sitting in this like rocket ship, right? And I'm on State Road and I'm paddle shifting. Like I'm I'm downshifting. I'm loving it, right? And I get to St. Vincent's Orphanage, which is the best place to have an accident, by the way, right in front of all, you know. So I was, it was late. It was like 11 o'clock at night and it just had rained. And I turned the corner and I downshifted and the back of the car just swung around. And it was, I was going, I was doing like, I guess I was slowed down to about 45 or 50, but the car was sliding, hydroplaning at that point. Yeah. And it turned all the way around and hit the curb. And by the time I hit the curb, I was doing like 15 miles an hour. It was kind of like a, you know, I didn't get hurt or anything. Mm-hmm. But it bent the back wheel in. And not only did it crack the axle, but it broke, it cracked the frame. And they, like the car, they just was like, we're not fixing this. Yeah, it's total. You got a frame crack, they said. So I had that car for like 4 months.
Yeah.
And it was, I loved it.
Yeah, and so many times. I mean, I grew up when Fast and Furious just came out. So think about
that. Great movie to be introduced.
Think about that, man. Like every single teenage boy who had a license and just saw that movie in the theaters came out of their car like thinking that, yeah, this is...
No one this did the speed limit after the movie.
You know, you win either by a hair or a mile, you know, like you're still, you know, like it's one of those things. Like, it's just, I don't know. For me, it made a huge impact. It's like, I love cars from there on. I was like, I was into it. Like, it was totally a thing back then. So a lot of the stupid things that I've done with my car war because I was being stupid and didn't think that, you know, that if you don't have the tires for it, it's not going to grip when you're going 70 miles an hour down on a curb, you know, and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, you're going to crash into that wall. So there was plenty of car stories of me being stupid. There was also plenty of stories later on where it's just like, you know, me going out with the wrong crowd and, you know, drinking and stuff like that. I used to deliver pizza. Mm-hmm. So it was like until 12 a.m., 1 a.m. on Saturdays. You were delivering pizza. After that, what do? You go next door to the Irish pub and you get some beers with the cooks and all that stuff. And then you go home. Since I lived down the street from it, I was like, psh, I can drive home fine. It's just literally down the street. I mean, what's there to crash, you know, or anything like that, which is stupid. Do not drink and drive ever, 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 no matter how small.
And that.
But in this case, luckily, there was nothing that was, you know, happened. But in my head, I'm like, came home. Parked the car fine. And the next morning I come out and like the whole car is like on the curb almost. Like half the car is on the curb, the other half is not. You know, and it's just like, yeah, that's the kind of stupid, invincible feeling that you think you have. And it's like, luckily nobody got hurt in that situation.
Yeah, tons of dumb.
Dude. But it feels like I don't know what talk I would have had to have or what I would have had to hear or see in order for me not to be that dumb.
I still did all that. When I came of age to drink, like I was going out everywhere and like 3, 4, 5, 6, it didn't matter. Right. I was driving. I felt like I could, like I believed it. My dad had all, and my mother, all those talks with me, like they couldn't have done a better job with that. But I was kind of like, you know, I didn't listen at all and I had to find out for myself.
Yeah.
And luckily I didn't ever get into any really bad trouble with it. Except, you know, myself.
Yeah.
Like thinking about it the next day was bad, but funny thing when you were mentioning the Fast and the Furious, like that movie was a little before my time. What I came up with was like Dr. Dre. Right, music videos.
After your time, not before your time.
Well, sorry, yeah. After, it was a little after my time.
Let's get this straight. You're older than me. I am. But go ahead.
So, the I had like Dr. Dre and like West Coast music videos, which had tricked out cars with gold rims. So I was 15 with my permit at the time. Mm-hmm. And like, as soon as I got my license, my dad was like, you can drive that minivan, the one that I crashed. So my stupid idea was to try and model my minivan into a Dr. Dre car.
Pimp my ride style.
Yeah, I had like no money. But I managed to buy 4 chrome hubcaps and I dropped those on there, right? It was all happening in one day. I dropped those on there. I had built a speaker box and I had a head unit and an amplifier, but my dad was like, you can't install it. You have to be able to remove it. So I made a way where I took the dashboard apart and hooked up, like ran a line to the battery that I could disconnect. So I had a system I could take in and out of the car, and it just sat on the floor. But the speaker box in the back was insane. It was like 2 15-inch. It was crazy what it sounded like, a block party when I was rolling around. And there's like junky. Everything rattled. I did it. My dad came home and like saw me working on it from work. And he just like shook his head. He's like, what are you doing to the car, man? He's like, why are you doing this to the car? I was like, I'm going to Roosevelt Mall. Like I'm going to drive around the mall, you know, then I'm going to play my music.
Yeah.
And that was like, well, we did.
Yeah. Know, like there. 100%. I have a buddy, Dario. He had a shed box car and it was like, we all did, because it's like what you do when you deliver pizza, right? Like you buy a junker basically and you drive it to the ground and then you go buy another junker.
Mm-hmm.
And his car was this Kia Sephia, and the Kia Sephia had no alternator at some point. So, but it was manual. So every morning he would call me up and he'd be like, hey, come on up here. We're going to push my car. If you don't know, a manual car, you can just push it down, put it in second, and pop the clutch and it'll start. So that's what we did every single morning for his shift.
Yeah.
He's delivering pizzas. That means his car has to stay on for the 8 hours that he's delivering pizzas. And that's what he did. He had that car running 8 hours a day for I don't know how long. And then finally some guy like wired some direct wires into like a new alternator, something like that. The key wouldn't work. So then he just had like, he had to touch 2 wires. He basically hot wired his own car, man. Every single day. the amount of things, like when you don't have money and you're just like engineering your way through life, like MacGyvering every
served thing, me well. I think back on it.
It teaches you so much. Like we used to like do our own, you know, like it needed brakes. So it's like, let's go get brakes. And he's like, you got a jack? Yeah. You know, like, let's do this. And we did it in like my driveway that's like already slanted.
Yeah.
It's like dangerous. Super dangerous. And we're under the car. They're like, yeah, like hold it. Yeah. Like,
hold it up.
Yeah, there's this little like army man just like holding it up. Like if that's going to stop us, that's being young and stupid. But at the same time, you know, ingenious, because it's like you learn quick. And we didn't have YouTube to show us that back then.
No, everything was like, if you messed it up, you just didn't have a car.
Right? No, you just didn't have a car. Like there's times where, you know, I dropped the car and the axle's like broken. And then it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Luckily, my leg wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
That's being young and stupid, you know. It's like like I just put the jack up, but didn't think about it, and then it's like the car just goes. One time he calls me, like we changed the brake pads just in time for a shift. He goes, delivers pizza, and midway he calls me. He's like, "Man, the wheel is like really wobbly." It's like, yeah, we didn't tighten the nut lug. Oh, yeah. Come back around. come back around. We're just going to tighten that up really quick. It's like, oh, my God, man. That could have earned it bad.
You know, luckily, so that's like when you had to ask for help, right? Like, that's something that the newer generation isn't and not everyone is used to asking for it because information is so readily available. Like I still remember my dad teaching me how to jack up a car, specifically how to change a tire. That was my first lesson. He's like, listen, you're going to get a flat.
Yeah.
100% you're going to get a flat and you're going to know what you need to do. Like someone's not going to come and change it for you. You're going to put the donut on, you're going to take it to the shop. This was before, like, some people had AAA, but it wasn't as accessible as it is now. Right. Yeah. So he taught me like the right way to jack up the car. And even though I didn't like having the big, like 2-ton jack in the back, like he was like, you're making room for this. He's like, you're not going to rely on the one that came with the car, cause I guarantee you're going to have a problem with it. But if you have the 2-ton jack and you can just lift the car up, he's like, it's much safer.
Yeah.
So I always had that in the back. And I remember that rolling around before I like made a little spot. So I was like, when I turned the corner, and I drove like that for a week, and I got the styrofoam under my grandpa's house because he was always like building stuff to place his tools in. I was like, I need a spot in the trunk for this so it doesn't move.
Yeah.
So we built like a box and a styrofoam thing so it fit with the spare. But yeah, it was
that's how I was sliding through the snow. I'm pretty sure I probably had a donut on one of the tires already. So it's not like I could just change it and go on. It was like literally glorious. Like, gotta get a new rim, you know?
Glorious. I mean, just glide, like just sliding around the corner with the donut, thinking you're looking cool. And other people are looking like, dude, what's he doing? There's a donut in the car.
Dude, it's stupid. We so many times trips to the junkyard to just like get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, they had stuff because it's like your car is old and shitty. There's old and shitty cars out there. And I bet you they have a mirror for a Saturn SC4.
I used to go to my mechanic because I used to always get the wrong thing that didn't fit. And like, it was before there was like databases of like part numbers. So you know what to get.
Yeah.
So I would ask my mechanic to get it for me. He was like a real good neighborhood guy in the Northeast. So I was always there. I would always have like, you know, a different colored mirror whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Door handles, they always broke on the older cars.
You would have to go to AutoZone and get the book for your car. And that would tell you all the manual for the parts that you wanted and all that you needed.
So much different than today. Like I know when I go to get windshield wipers now, I already know exactly what I'm getting because I have searched it. Or I've asked ChatGPT for it. And though I used to go to AutoZone or Pep Boys and go look in that big laminated book that was always chained.
Yeah.
So because people would take it, right? Like have it chained to the aisle. Yeah. So you know what you were looking for.
Yeah.
But I used to go in there and I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to get like new mats. I'm going to get the steering wheel cover.
The amount of AutoZone.
I've given them a lot of money.
That we used to put on our car. Definitely riced it up.
The amount of money I spent on floor mats, like
car, like the seat covers and all that, steering wheel covers. It's like, oh, it has flames on it.
Semi-dangerous to drive with that on your steering wheel.
Dude, I'm seriously, we totally riced up our cars. We totally like did all the stupid stuff.
One of the dumbest things I used to do when I would clean the inside, I would put Armor All over the steering wheel. I'm like, why can't I? My hands would
slidey,
and I would be like, I would be at a red light, like I need to wipe my hands off.
Yeah,
you know? And I learned that lesson the hard way multiple times too. You know, because if you were like going out on Friday night or Saturday night, you'd be like, ch-ch-ch.
You spray. So my brother taught me how to drive before I got my license.
Mm-hmm.
So he had like this Honda Accord, and it was a manual too. So he taught me how to drive manual.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, he's like, slowly left off the clutch and put the gas a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like let go of the clutch, go on the gas. And he was like, you know,
yes.
go. He's like, slow down. You know, then by the time my dad was like, all right, you know, like, mm-hmm. time to teach you, he's like, you're pretty good at this. I was like, yeah. We're not telling him that. That my brother already told me everything.
Yeah, just second nature.
Yeah. Then I went to Florida for spring break, and my friend had a little Honda Civic hatchback.
Mm-hmm.
And he was teaching at, he was already like graduated and all this stuff. I was still in college. He was teaching at, I think, at FIU, and mm-hmm. went to the mall nearby. And met a girl, and I was like, oh, you know, let's go. let's go to FIU, gonna get my buddy's car, and I stayed with him spring mm-hmm. break. I was like, I'm gonna get my buddy's car, and he's like, yeah, you know, let's get. So we get there, I ask him for the keys, and he's like, you know how to drive manual, right? I was like, yeah. It was like the third time maybe I've driven a manual, and she was like, oh my god, we're going to die, you know, because every it's like we're going and it's like boom, 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 boom. And then it's just like once we're going, it's like it's chill, but like the first couple times it's like, you know, like the car is like shaking and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Oh my god, so many good stories, man.
My wife knows how to drive a manual probably better than me, because I haven't had a manual in a very 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 long time. She had one for years and learned how to drive.
Look at the corner 911 turbo picture over there. That is the car my wife learned how to drive a manual in.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great starter.
I was about to sell it, and I was like, all right, time to teach you, because I don't have mm-hmm. to pay for the clutch. Yeah. That was a cool car to learn.
It was. You've had some really nice track cars, man. You do really, really fun ones, man, to drive.
They're fun cars. Yeah, no longer the case. It's too expensive of a hobby. can't do that anymore.
Well, not now. Maybe.
Maybe in the future. But I was just talking to somebody who got like a fast car, and they were like, oh, I'm going to take it to the track. And mm-hmm. so I started like going through everything that means taking your car to the track. Mm-hmm. It's like there's insurance. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, and it's like you got to get track insurance. You can't ask your insurance for this. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to cover your plates, because if your insurance finds out that you're taking your, you know, commuter car to mm-hmm. the track, they might drop you. Mm-hmm. You know. There's, you know, brakes and tires. Mm-hmm. Tires are expensive.
They really are. Yeah.
So it's one of those things that it's like, you know, you might think it's like, oh, a track weekend is $400 bucks.
You gotta have track tires when you go. You gotta switch.
No, you don't. I mean, you don't have to. But you good tires. You know, it's definitely good. Like there's the Michelin Pilot Sport 4S's. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very good for the track and very good for the road, especially mm-hmm. on the performance car. But it's what just one of those things that you don't think about all the expenses that go into it. You know, there's people who I know do track days and everything like that, and they're spending, you know, thousands of dollars a weekend.
I remember you having two sets of wheels for one of your Porsches.
Yeah.
For
a couple of them.
Yeah,
I
literally would swap out.
But I did more autocross and stuff like that. I didn't do too much. Mm-hmm. I've done track days just with the Porsche invited me to do like a track day for mm-hmm. to test out all their cars and all this stuff. It was like one of those.
Thank you.
It's like, yes, please. It was funny because I got the email and it was like, hey, want to come out to New Jersey Motorsport Park and mm-hmm. test out all the Porsches and all the stuff. You're the friend. And I called my buddy up. I was like, what are you doing tomorrow? He's like, working. I was like, come play hooky with me. He's like, what do you got? And I was like, I told him about it. He's like, all right. And I looked at my calendar and it was like full of different meetings. And I was like responding to people. It's like, this doesn't need a meeting. We can postpone this. Let's resolve this right now. It was like, I was working, trying to get rid of all the meetings in my calendar. Okay, I'm taking off tomorrow. You know. And then I left and I went to the track and I was like, you know, like they were like taking us through, you know, the 911, the Macan, the Panamera, and even the EV, the Taycan, around mm-hmm. like a little autocross that they set up. Yeah, it was a fun day at the track. That was really cool. But yeah, but back then, like the track
was the neighborhood.
Yeah, and it's sad, you know. Like I guess now I think about it, it's like if I you know, see those teenagers doing that, I'm like the old man, like
I'm here to crush fun and hope.
Yes. There's definitely that. Like it's like I hate that I'm like that, but at the same time it's like I get it. Like there's a reason for that. There's like being stupid
is like shaking their fists at you when you leave, a dream crusher. Yeah.
But any other young and stupid stories?
None that I can say online.
None that I can say.
Yeah, I'm somewhat limited.
What's the statute of limitation?
Too close to Philadelphia still to tell that story out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had we used to go to the clubs with this guy Dario and his girlfriend.
Man. Yeah,
right. And now his wife. You know, they have two children together. But it's one of those things that it's like. We went out to the clubs. I was their designated driver, so they could get shit-faced. So I think that's the only reason they took me around. Because like, I was a third wheel on their whole relationship for the longest time. And we used to go everywhere together. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't know if we used to go together, or it was just like I inserted myself into that whole thing. But, like, it was just like, it's like, we went everywhere. We went to the clubs and everything. One night coming back, you know, the wife is, well, the girlfriend at the time is passed out in the back. You know, like, he's also kind of like a little, like, shit face in the front seat. I'm driving back.
Mm-hmm.
She gets up and with fear in her voice just yells out, "This is the exit!" And I go four lanes across and just like turn into the exit, and suddenly it's like, welcome to New Jersey. It's like the bridge to New Jersey from Philadelphia. And I'm like, you idiot. Why would you tell me that? And she's like, I don't know why you would listen to me. I was like, oh, God. Then we were like in Trenton at 2 a.m. trying to get back to Philly, like circling around. Because again, we didn't have GPSs. We didn't have anything. It's one of those things that you just have to kind of like know or experiment or ask around. And it's like, all right.
Like, there's been plenty of times where I was over at a concert at the East Center, whatever it's called now, in Trenton. And I'd be driving around in Trenton. And that Trenton's pretty much like, I went to Frankfort High School, so like Kensington is right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's the same neighborhood. Like, it's the same awful place. But being lost there, right, is like, when you're driving around, you're getting looked at like, and they're not, you can't stop and ask for directions.
my buddy had a story. He's in Trenton and he ran out of gas and he's like sort of like taking the gas can of his car and walking down. Mind you, he's like big Russian guy, right? So so he's like, you know, like nobody's gonna mess with him. But at the same time, it's like he looks suspicious as hell because there's a lot of burnt down houses in Trenton.
And he's carrying a gas can around.
He's just carrying a gas can around. Yeah. And so cop comes and he's like, what are you doing? He's like, my car ran out of gas. I'm going down to a gas station to get some gas. He's like, can you give me a lift? He's like, I'm not allowed to do that. And then he's like, he sees this like minivan with like a family there, and he's like, I give you $20 if you take me to the gas station and back. And they're like, yes! And they go and get him. Like, it's like, imagine just like walking around Trenton with like a gas can.
I can imagine.
It's like, no way, man.
I used to walk around Margaret and Orthodox up and down underneath the L. We used to walk around all the time.
Different time, man.
Juniata, like my wife grew up in Juniata. We used to go, I used to go everywhere back there. And it wasn't necessarily like great, but it wasn't.
When I first came to this country, like my uncle owned, I think I talked about this, but he owned this shoe repair shop downtown, right? And so a couple of years into it, like sixth grade, seventh grade, you know, I used to go to the L, take the L down to the L being the train station, downtown, work with him, mm-hmm. get $10 a day, you know, and then come back at night, like 8 p.m., 9 p.m., mm-hmm. come back at night, get down from the train station, and the train station wasn't close to my house. It was still like, you know, like a 3-mile walk or whatever it was, right? So if I walked, I walked. But most of the time, like my parents would be home, you know, from work and all mm-hmm. this stuff. I can take the payphone and I can call collect. And when they say your name, I'd be like, I'm at the train station. Come pick me up. And then you would just wait 10 minutes, you know, like and then yeah. they're like, all right, they're here. Yeah. You know, like, and if they're not here, do that again. Be like, yeah. what the hell happened? Come pick me up. So that was a day. We, you know, like, it's yeah. like 8, 9 o'clock. I can't imagine my 15-year-old, 14-year-old, you know, like being out downtown and coming back. I would not allow that.
Yeah, I would never allow it.
Like, at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so hypocritical. Yeah.
I used to take the L everywhere.
Everywhere. Like,
that's how I got into Center City.
Yeah.
Until I started driving, then, but even so, like, driving was too expensive sometimes.
And sometimes, like, my uncle would be like, he would hit the gym after mm-hmm. after that. So he got me a membership at Bally's, the one downtown.
Mm-hmm.
He got me a membership and he paid for that. Mm-hmm. And he would, like, take me with him. So it's like, sometimes it's like, more than like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you know, mm-hmm. it's like we close down at 6, then go hit the gym for like an hour, mm-hmm. and then it's like go home. Mm-hmm. So I can't fathom mm-hmm. how we used to do that so careless, you know.
Mm-hmm. I used to seamlessly get on the L and get on the subway. I would go all the way out to like 30th Street Station, down to like, you know, 69th Street to go to like concerts yeah. down there and all, like
Tower Theater.
Everywhere. Yeah. We'd go everywhere. We used to walk a lot too.
Yeah.
I used to walk like 15 miles. Like, walk.
And then once I got of like age, you know, like take the train, come back at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then it's like weirdos in the train. You know?
Like, what's that guy doing in that corner over there?
No, just like people who are like, you know, like we're coming back, and my female friend who was like, you know, like with me and everything like that. She's, you know, the guy is just like commenting on her feet. You know, and it's just like, man, yeah. you got such nice feet.
Come on, man.
It's like, here, you man. Know, a girl is pretty when she got good feet. It's like, if the feet is jacked up, the girl is jacked up. It's like so many like weirdos, like, and you're like,
hammer time.
Yeah, you're just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank yeah, you.
Like,
thank
when's you our stop? This is our stop. All right, goodbye.
Thanks for the compliments. Goodbye. Yeah,
goodbye. Dude, and then when I had like the car and like I could like drive places and all this stuff, I would come mm-hmm. home like, you know, after party, everything like that, like 4 or 5 a.m. I remember one time, many times, like I would come home and just like sleep in the basement because like the parking was like behind, and mm-hmm. it would enter into the basement of the house, of those row homes, and I would just like sleep in the basement and all that stuff. One time I come home and it was like 5 a.m. It was like, and my, you go up the stairs, and when you go up the stairs, it was like a tiny hallway, and right across the stairs is my room.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to like, I hear my dad get up and go to the bathroom. Bathroom is like facing the hallway there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like slowly get up the stairs, trying not make any noise. And I jolt across the hallway to try to get to my room, thinking that I'm gonna, you know, outsmart him and pretend that I've been in my room the whole time. My dad just says, coming home this time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nah, I fell asleep in the basement. He's like, mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I know what you were doing. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, just let us know next time. He's like, I don't care. You're going to go out. You're going to do stuff. Just let us know so we're not staying up mm-hmm. worried mm-hmm. that you're going to be coming home this time.
Mm-hmm.
From then on, it was like, at least I had a phone and all this stuff. So it was like, you know, I would let my parents know, like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to be at a friend's house, probably be home by 1, you know, 12, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it was like kind of cool because it's like, you know, 1, I'm already, you know, an adult. So it was easier for them to take that I'm going to be out and about.
I used to sneak out of the house all the time when I was, before I was allowed to. I would push the car into the driveway so it didn't make noise starting up. I'd push it to the corner and start it up. Like, I was super bad, man. I used to sneak, and I would do that even, like, I caught myself when I was, like, 22, 23 doing the same thing. I was like, why am I doing? I'm allowed to stay out. I don't have to push the car out of the driveway anymore. I'd want to just silently leave. Because when I go out at 1 in the morning, I'm not going out for, like, you know, I'm not going food shopping.
Chris Rock had a joke about it. He's like, when anytime you take out money out of the ATM at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's never for a good time. You know, it's never for something good. It's always going to be something bad. You know, like it's definitely, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, it was not a nonstop party. And
oh man, that's crazy. Yeah, my mom told me this story when her and her brother used to wait for my grandfather's friend to come over to drink and play poker and whatever they did. Mm-hmm. And he had a motorcycle and they lived up a hill or down a hill, something like that. But they would just take the motorcycle of this guy, push it up the hill, and then ride down and then push it up the hill and ride down. Just all the time. Like, they would just do these stuff to, like, you know, be teenagers. What teenagers do, you know, it's like being stupid.
Yeah, like building giant ramps in the snow and going down a steep hill and launching yourself off it, thinking you won't get hurt.
My father told me a story of playing with fireworks and his brother got hurt because it didn't launch in the air and kind of exploded near his brother. And so he had like this kind of like burned hair and like blood and all that stuff. And he had to like basically wear a hat for a long time. And then it got infected and everything. But he wasn't going to tell his parents until one day. It's like, why are you wearing a hat all the time? And they found out.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The first thing me and my best friend did when we got access to fireworks was shoot them at each other. Roman candle duel. Every time we were wizards, dude, we turned into wizards. We were like, ha ha. You know, we got like our bathrobes and put them on and went in the middle of the street and we're like, like burn marks everywhere.
I think I told you this story, but like basically my friend and I had like a hockey stick and it was like, duck, jump. And it was just swinging at each other with this hockey stick. And it was like, swing high, game. You tell the person to duck. Swing low, you tell the person to jump.
It's a dumbass game.
Until he was like, jump. And he swung high and just clocked me across the head. And like my head was bleeding. And I didn't get any stitches or anything like that. So because I didn't want to tell my parents that, you know, that I needed to go to a hospital. And I would just like, you know, and one year I shaved my head. And when you get cuts in your head, you can see where the cuts are, you know, because no hair grows back there. Mm-hmm. So my mom sees my head and she's like, I know where you got cut for this one, but what about this one?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's the story. Because I'm already an adult. It's like, aha, you can't do anything more about this. Which, in hindsight, it is stupid. Why would my parents punish me for being... I mean, yeah, they can punish me for being stupid. But, like, when I got hurt, it's one of those things that, you know, like, you know, I should have expected, you know, sympathy. Not for somebody to come after me. It's like, man.
One of the dumbest games I can remember playing as a kid was Ricochet. And we made this game up.
Ricochet?
Yeah, we made this up. And this was a dumbass game. So
rocks?
No, we weren't that unsophisticated. We would get our baseball gloves and a softball. And there was this big white work truck on our street. And it was a beater, right? And I don't even know why we thought it was okay to do this with the truck. But the game was, the person who's going to catch the softball has to stand facing the sun while the thrower ricochets the softball off the big white truck, and you have to try and catch it while you're blinded by the sun. So that was a hit or miss type of thing, and I wound up getting hit in the face with the ball, and it broke my cheekbone. So I had like a big shiner from it.
Oh.
Yes, that was. I wasn't allowed to play ricochet after that. It's like, well, you just have a regular catch, like, you know.
That was
in the middle of the street,
yeah,
peacefully, we're playing ricochet. That was our game.
Summertime, throw like water balloons at cars. One time we were throwing it to one car, and he had the windows down. So, what we used to do is like toss it up and let the car kind of hit the water balloon. This time I tossed it too late, so it went into the car and exploded in there. The car just like stopped, and we all just like ran. It's like, oh my God, you think they know where we live? It's like, it just ran down the alley.
It was tons of that, man. It's tons of like getting dog poop, putting it in the bag, lighting it on fire, and knocking on the door and running. You know, and the people who would entertain us and chase us were the ones we hit again and again, because that was the fun, right?
Oh, that's just mean.
But, you know, it all came to a head, and
yeah,
they found out who it was, and we were, you know, we swept that sidewalk for an eternity.
Like, what about prank calls?
Oh, all the time, man.
So prank calls, it was like, you know, you still, you like, hit, what was it, Star 67?
Yeah.
to basically block your number for the person, because caller ID was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then you would call and just, like, say stupid stuff, you know, mess with your friends, you know.
There's countless these nuts jokes. And countless, like, it just, because that's when, like, what was it called? Crank Yankers or Prank Yankers? They would do,
yeah,
they had a whole audio tape back in the day, before we had CDs, of them just calling people and messing with them.
Yeah.
And we thought it was great. We totally stepped into doing that.
So my kids and I, and the wife, you know, like, mm-hmm, we, our thing right now is we're watching that 70s show.
Mm-hmm.
And my son asks, what is, you know, what's Fez up to these days or something like that? I was like, I don't know. Like, let me look it up. But like, I do know that he had a show on MTV called Yo Mama.
And he's
what? And so we started watching some reruns of Yo Mama on YouTube. And he's like, oh my God, this is hilarious.
Yeah, Yo Mama was really good. That was funny.
Oh, that was great. Want to wrap it up there?
Yeah, yeah. I'm almost out of stories. I'll save some if...
Let's save some, because I know Piero has a couple of stories.
Yeah, I saw his text before we came on, and it looked like there was... good ones in there. So
next time,
maybe
I'll get my buddy on board too.
All right,
we'll get some stories. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Great talking
to
you.
Peace out.
Peace.